And we're reaching you live from our audiovisual studios on Etimi and Crescent Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. Lagos, good morning to you once again. Thank you for tuning in. It's the last 1 hour of the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. And nice to meet you if you're tuning in for the very first time. If you're watching online, Facebook and on YouTube, you're welcome. If you're not and you'd like to do the same, please go to our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3. It'll pop up. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel so you get notified once we're live, or just like our Facebook page. That's all you need. Just like the page. That's all you need to do for you to get the alerts that we're live anytime we're live here on Nigeria Info. Let's know your thoughts on any conversation we're having here anytime, as long as we're live on that. Just engage, participate in our programs. Now, for those who are listening to us from anywhere in the world, welcome. If you'd like to also get our mobile app, please go to your respective app stores on Google Play Store. Just type in Nigeria Info FM. If you're on iPhone, go to the App Store and go get it. Type in Nigeria Info FM and download the mobile app, install and enjoy. Lagos, let's begin our conversation this morning. Today, we have members from Democracy Network, DemNet for Development, join us to educate everybody. Let's talk about why we are not doing continuous water restoration in the real sense of the word, CVR. Why do we have to pause? Why do we have to wait till elections are here? There is no better time to have this conversation than now that elections are over, than now that nobody is really talking about this particular situation. DemNet, by the way, this organization is an organization that promotes the democratic culture in Nigeria. Let me bring on my guests very, very quickly right now. I've got two guests. Aneto is a team lead, Democracy Network for Development, DemNet. She joins us right now, virtually. You can watch, by the way. Aneto, morning to you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Good morning.
I've got Ibrahim here as well. Ibrahim is a programs manager, Yaga Africa, and member, DemNet. Ibrahim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you for having us. Good morning to Lagos. Good morning to everyone that's watching and listening across the world.
Oh, fantastic. Let's jump into it. Let me start with the team lead, Democracy Network for Development, DemNet, Uzoma Aneto. Let's start with you. I'd like to know exactly, because this question is very valid, right? Why don't we do the continuous voter registration exercise in the real sense of the word? I know I should be, you know, putting this question to INEC, but I also know that perhaps you may have a bit of information as to why we don't do this, Aneto.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. Honestly, the question should be to INEC, really, because
honestly,
yeah, because we don't really see the reason why there is no the continuous voters registration in the real sense of it, like you rightly pointed. What has been observed so far is that once the elections are over, it's like there's a way to the next cycle or closer to the next electioneering period, and INEC starts to advertise or make open or make known the need for people to go get their voters registration. And now you ask yourself, what happened? Because it's actually an electoral cycle where after the elections, a cycle begins. So it's supposed to be like continuous. It doesn't break. A cycle
right.
doesn't break. So
right.
You just have to keep doing what you're doing until you meet the next cycle, until you meet the next real thing. So honestly, it's something INEC should actually tell us why there's no real continuous voter education, and what was the essence of the law? Why put it continuous voter registration
exactly.
when in the real sense of it, it's not happening? So it's really, it's not adding up. So INEC doesn't really have much excuse to put up or to throw that this is the reason why we cannot, in the actual sense of it, practice continuous voters registration.
Ibrahim, what's the impact of this? If we're waiting for the last minute to start enrolling those who have attained the age of 18 or those who would like to replace their lost voter cards or one thing or one that, that's the reason why they want to have access to that. What's the import? What's the impact of waiting till the last minute before we start enrolling people and giving them voter cards on election?
So I think one of the impacts that we're going to see is something that we witnessed so many times, which is that last minute rush where INEC decides that within a 4-year electoral cycle, there's only about 12 months or 13 months, which was the case that we saw leading up to the 2023 general elections, where eligible Nigerians have an opportunity to register to vote or to transfer or to apply for replacement of lost or damaged cards within a 4-year electoral cycle. If we have a truly continuous voter registration process, and I'm glad that in your introduction, you emphasize that a truly continuous voter registration process should not be a process that lasts for only 12 months or 13 months, as was the case that we saw leading up to the 2023 general elections. But it's actually something that happens throughout the electoral cycle. If I can just jog our memories a bit, leading up to the 2023 general elections, INEC opened up its portal for continuous voter registration, for replacement of lost cards, and for transfer in June 2021. And it closed the process in July 2022. And that's a period of 13 months. So if I would just paint a scenario for you, for instance, now, we have elections coming up in November in Kogi State, in Imo State, and in Bayelsa State. If I was a young Nigerian that just turned 18, let's say in August 2022, the process would have closed by then. And I would have been expecting INEC to open up the process to say, you know, elections are coming up in Imo, in Bayelsa, in Kogi, and I want to vote. But now I am effectively disenfranchised because it is not truly a continuous process. We also need to ask INEC these questions, and also to note that this is an advocacy effort. So we're also working with INEC to present the facts, to present the implications for not ensuring that this is a truly continuous process.
Beautiful. And incidentally, we were going to talk about, you know, how this would affect the off-cycle elections, because what you see most times, as you've rightly said, Ibrahim, is that INEC opens this portal up when we want to have general elections. But the off-cycle elections, I'm not exactly certain the same process is employed by INEC to get people into the net of those who can vote. But let me come to Uzoma this time. Let's talk about advocacy that Ibrahim just mentioned now. Do we have enough advocacy, enough sensitization, apart from what your organization Demnet is doing, like what we have right now this morning on the show? Do you think we have this much to remind INEC or whoever that is responsible to make this happen, that is, make continuous voter registration, CVR exercise, be truly CVR? Do we have enough engagement, especially among civil society organizations, in the media, even within the, you know, corridors of power, to make sure they empower? Just maybe INEC doesn't have the resources, maybe just INEC doesn't have the capabilities to make this CVR be truly CVR. But do we have enough engagement, enough awareness, enough sensitization, at least to give people who are supposed to cause this change that notch that they need? Uzoma.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. I will answer from two perspectives. I can say that some civil society groups that are into democracy and good governance areas of intervention, I know, and one way or the other, must have reached out to INEC on that issue. And I will also answer on the other side to say that it's not really enough, because if the advocacy had really gained momentum, it should have moved INEC to start making certain policies to accommodate the real continuous voters registration exercise as it is in the act. Because over the years, there are certain complaints or restraints that INEC has one way or the other mentioned concerning manpower, concerning logistics and all that, financing and all that. But honestly, it's not something that they have practiced for a while and notice it's not going to continue, or it's not going to happen, or it's not going to go well, or hasn't gone well, and they stopped. It's something they never just tried doing.
It's never happened.
You know. Yes, it has never happened. So you now begin to question, at what point was it started, and then what problems did they run into and stopped it? So I would say the advocacy really need to continue, and everybody's voice must be added to it to show that, because this last election, just like what Ibrahim said, was really an eye-opener. A lot of issues were discovered, which we know that if certain things had taken place earlier than they should have been, we wouldn't be, INEC wouldn't have faced the kind of logistic issues they faced the last time. A lot of people couldn't collect their voters' card on time. We saw somewhere like, I think somewhere in Anambra State, in Newe to be precise, a bag of voters' cards was dumped inside the bushes, you know, and it took people rescuing it and distributing it. And that was like 2 days or a week or thereabouts, if my memory serves me well, to the general election. So all these things, if it's a continuous, why wouldn't someone within 4 years, even if you're so slow, someone had already mentioned that Nigerians, they always like to do things at the dying minute. But if someone knows, just like getting license, you go to a licensing office, even if it's going to take you 12 months, calendar months to go pick it up, at least it's enough time to prepare before the next election.
You know,
thank you.
Uzama, I'm going to stay with you because you took that right out of my mouth, because my next question would have been that if we're talking about logistics, if we're talking about manpower, I'm not exactly sure that should be a concern, or maybe a concern, but that shouldn't be like a major concern. There's a way the FRSC, there's a way they do their driver's license thing. There's a way the customs do their passport registration thing, and other licensing, agencies of government out there. It shouldn't be that you must. But right now, you can book an appointment. You can go for capturing anytime. These things can be phased and it can be scheduled. What more excuse can be there to say that INEC can't do this? But in all honesty, like you have said, Uzama, earlier, INEC had complained about, financing before. INEC had complained about manpower as well before. In moving forward, perhaps, do you think INEC really is exploring all options on the table to make the CVR truly CVR? Has there been any engagement in this regard, especially during the last CVR exercise?
Thank you very much, Sherry. I can say that what I mentioned earlier, that we have not, for the past 20-something years now, that we had uninterrupted
democracy.
We have not. There has never been a time INEC started CVR as it should be and then run into glitches. So it has never happened. So if maybe at that time they started and they discovered one or two things went wrong, it's enough time. 23 years is enough time, or 20 years is enough time to look at what actually went wrong. How are you going to ameliorate it? How are other people, other players can come in to help solve the issue? So honestly, it is not something that INEC has actually done. And then they say, oh, it didn't work. Oh, we don't have manpower. Oh, financing, logistics, and all that. Try it first and let us see where the issues come from. And basically, we know that once the elections are over, it's almost like all the staff going to hibernation
or something.
Until the next cycle or closer to the next cycle, everything comes up again. So what do these staff do after a major election? What actually do they do? They have staff all over the local government. What do they actually do when they go to work? So these are the issues. So why don't we start? Why don't INEC start? And then let's see where players can come in. After all, they have a certain aid from most of the international organization to support, to ease their work and see how it goes.
Ibrahim, would you like to chime in something before I go to the telephone? Would you want to say one or two things as regards the last conversation? Yes, please go on.
Yes, I would. So I think one of the things that we've seen almost after every general election is that when we have observer reports by both local and international organizations, the recommendations always clearly state that INEC should make the continuous voter registration process truly continuous. I think that we saw that in the European Union Election Observation Mission report. Other election observer groups such as YAGA Africa or CDD West Africa have also recommended some of these policy changes to the Independent National Electoral Commission. So I think it is important that civil society organizations go back to the recommendations that come out from these reports and try and implement it. That already provides some kind of foundation for this advocacy to continue. And INEC has a very good working relationship with civil society organizations, with international organizations that provide electoral support as well. On the side of INEC, and I do not want to make excuses for INEC, and I'd mentioned that we are partners in progress, but I remember that in May 2021, before the commencement of the continuous voter registration process, INEC took delivery of what was called the voter enrollment devices that was used for the continuous voter registration process. In addition to that, INEC had created an online portal where Nigerians, tech savvy, urban, you don't want to go to the INEC office to start with. You can do your pre-registration online. So my understanding is that the resources, the materials are already on ground. Now, this voter enrollment device is the same device that is converted on election day to the BVAS, to the bimodal voter accreditation system that is used. And INEC took delivery of over 200,000 BVAS machines because you'd have to have one machine for each polling unit. And we have over 176,000 polling units. So to make the point that those machines are available. And then to buttress the point that Uzoma made is that INEC has 774 offices at least in each of the local government areas and area councils in the FCT. What I think INEC needs to do moving forward, and this advocacy is pushing, is to say in each of the local government offices and area councils in the FCT, ensure that there is at least one voter enrollment device where citizens who turn 18 can walk into the INEC office at the local government area. INEC already has staff in each of the local government offices. You have the voter enrollment devices. Staff have been trained, their capacity has been built, and there are young people who turn 18 every day in this country and who have shown enthusiasm to register and vote. Our advocacy would continue, and like you said, we need to have more from civil society and media partners, and we're glad that Nigeria Info you know, is also jumping on this conversation at this time to say that it's very important. But moving forward, I hope Sheriff, maybe you would also invite the INEC chairman or the INEC commissioners and come and ask them these same tough questions too.
Yes. I don't ask tough questions. I only have questions. That's what I have. Let's take some calls because when we return after the break, Uzoma and Ibrahim, I want to talk to you about the engagement between political parties in this regard now and INEC, because I haven't heard much from political parties advocating for CVR, even though this is going to benefit them the most, because in essence, we're talking about people who want to, vote. And if the political parties do their assignment very well, essentially people will vote for a candidate, either theirs or another, so it will benefit them in a way or two. But I'm not seeing that much advocacy from the political parties themselves in terms of CVR being truly CVR. But that will be after the break. Let's take one or two calls as we prepare to go out. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guests as well. Please, I have this question, although I've been worried about it. And the question is it possible? I don't know if these people can answer or they will also...
Hello? 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 Oh, I'm sorry. I think that call dropped. It just went mute. Let's take this one. Good morning to you. Morning. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I can't hear a thing. Do try and call me back. Let's take this one here. Good morning to you. That call has dropped again. I'm sorry about that. Let's go back to the female line. Morning to you.
Hello, it was me. I called earlier.
Yeah, okay, you're back now, yeah.
Okay, so the question is it possible that when people have their voter card misplaced, there could be maybe like this INEC staff, you can call them, and then they block it so that even when it is found by those miscreants that knows how to hack elections, so that you cannot do anything with it. Is there a way that something can be done that you can just call and then they'll work on it before retrieving it or trying to retrieve it?
Okay. All right. I mean, I could answer that question, but who's going to take it? Uzama, Ibrahim, who's taking this question? Did you get the question?
I don't know if I got that. Okay, please. No, I didn't. Please go ahead and repeat it.
She wanted to know if it's possible to block a lost voter card so that someone else doesn't use it to vote. But please hold on to that question because we need to step aside now to take this break. When we return, we'll answer that question and others that will be coming through. That is if you can answer them. All right. Let's go to break, Lagos. We'll be back. Stay here, please. Lagos, welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. We're live from our studio this morning on Etimi and Christian Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sherif Quadri. Today, we're talking about CVR, Continuous Voter Registration, on the Morning Crossfire. It's 8:43, and we're just going to get to it very quickly right now. I have my two guests still here on the show. Uzama is here. Ibrahim is here as well from Demnet. Let's try and answer the question of the caller before the break. She was asking whether a lost voter card can be blocked or cancelled or deactivated so that the other person, you know, does not, the person that picks it up does not use it to vote.
Oh, okay. thank you, Sherif. I think I lost mine sometime, I think 2017 or so. And I can't really say what happened. Probably I left it in the back or something, but the point is that I didn't get it back. So INEC had to open, make the announcement for people that lost their voter's card, people that need to transfer or something close to that, for a need to apply on time so that you can get it back. I'm not really sure about blocking, but it's something INEC can clarify on their own. But I know there's a possibility for you to get your voter's card back if you make the complaint going to their website. And also, I think she can also on the website have interaction with a customer care to find out if it's possible to block. I don't know, blocking it, maybe for it not to be used where. It's something she might have to find out from INEC. But I know once you have a register, a voter's card that is missing, you have the eligibility to apply and register that it was missing and a new one should be issued because they already have your data, all right, in their system. So it's a man, they've taken the biometrics of whatever it is that was imputed there that is so personal to you. So I don't think it's possible for someone else to use it, but it's something she could also make more inquiry by going to the website and then find out for herself.
Ibrahim, would you like to add anything before we move on?
Yes, just to add really quickly that no one else can use your card to vote because your biometrics are peculiar to you. So, you know, if you go on election day, the BVAS machine would either scan your face or your fingerprint. But my advice would be to also, you know, get a police report stating that your card was lost, so that no one else uses it for any mischievous or malicious intents. But as far as it comes to voting, no one else can use your card to vote. And hopefully we might get to a point in this country where you do not even need your voter's card to vote, as long as your name is on the register. You can just walk up to the polling units. The machine recognizes you either using facial recognition or your fingerprints, and you'd be allowed to vote.
Indeed. Let me stay with you, Ibrahim. Let's talk about political parties. This advocacy that you're on right now and some other civil society organizations have been on for some time, which is on making CVR what CVR should be. Are you encouraged by, you know, the impute of the political parties, if they have any? If they have, please tell us that, you know a political party or that political party. I haven't seen any of them that have championed the cause of CVR being truly CVR. It seems as though once elections are over, they've gone back into their shells. But let's talk about their own actions or inactions in the advocacy for making CVR what CVR should be. Is there a role that they need to play?
Yes, political parties definitely have a very important role to play. Stands right now, we haven't seen any concerted efforts or actions by political parties, you know, to join the advocacy and to put pressure on INEC to reopen the continuous voter registration process. But at DemNet Nigeria, part of our advocacy efforts would also be to engage with different stakeholders. These include political parties, other civil society organizations, the media. That is why we're here this morning having this conversation as well. We can consider committees in the National Assembly that have an oversight on INEC. And one reason why political parties are very important is that political parties also have a quarterly engagement with the commission. So the commission has a series of quarterly engagements with civil society, with political parties, on the different security agencies. And once all these different stakeholders are on board, and at every quarterly meeting with INEC with different stakeholders, INEC hears that same message around the importance of continuing or making sure that the voter registration process is truly continuous, then I think that we'll start to see some policy changes and some actions from INEC. In the next few days, I can tell you that we'll also be engaging with the leadership of some political parties, you know, to ensure that we have some support from political parties as well for this advocacy, and to ensure that they are also on board and continue this advocacy to the commission when they meet with the commission every quarter.
I'm going to head to the telephone lines now to take one or two calls as we prepare to go. But Usama, before I start taking calls, let's double down on what Ibrahim just said about, you know, the activities of DemNet. What are the advocacy that you're embarking on? Ibrahim just mentioned that you want to engage with the political parties more. What are those that you have planned? What are those in store, you know, in terms of the continuous advocacy on CVR?
Right. Sharif, honestly, like you mentioned earlier, the need for every hand to be on deck is very important.
Very, very.
It's very important for civil societies. I believe in good governance, democratic principles, to actually lend their voice to this cause. So as part of our engagements, we have already had a wider consultation with some civil society groups, and we made the project known to them, and the reason why everyone should speak and everybody should encourage INEC to actually put the law to work. And also, we intend to get to the youth themselves, because they are the marginalized majority. Yes. Just like Ibrahim stated, someone turns 18 by August. There is elections coming up in November among three states. you'll find out that these people will not be able to vote.
Unfortunately.
So the young people themselves need to also say, yes, this is our right. Hmm. Why is it not happening? They need to also lend their voice. They need to also speak up. So we intend to engage with college students, university students, and also some youth groups also. So others include using the online platform, okay. Twitter, okay. and the change.org, which we've been speaking with, so as to get as many as we can on signatures of why people should support the need for continuous voters registration. So these are just the few advocacy plans we have. And also the media, very important, this conversation we're having is really like opening the conversation to a wider audience.
Right.
If people can start getting it into their consciousness that what is really true, because it's something if you don't talk about, people are not really like concerned, but once people start, it's actually true. So why is it that just like I can get into the bank when I lose my ATM card,
right,
and I make an application for it, then within 24 hours, I get a new ATM card. What was the big idea about voters registration card? So these are just few of the lined up items to intensify and set it to a high magnitude of the need for advocacy.
Uzama and Ibrahim, we have to leave it here for this morning. Thank you, lady, gentleman, for joining me on the show today. And best of luck in your advocacies.